T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
McCall was last night. I was getting text. I got a text from one player on call now. I think the chances for a season are pretty close to zero. I just can't believe they're going to blow it up with economics.
Dale Arnold.
The Boston Athletic Association has determined that the traditional one-day running of the 124th Boston Marathon is not feasible this year.
Oh, boy.
Rich Keefe.
The closest thing we have to a gambling expert on these airwaves is my buddy Mutt.
I'm a moron.
I'm trying to pump up my buddy Mutt here.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart.
Somehow interpreted. What the hell's that word?
Wow.
Dumbass. On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number 2, Dale and Keefe. Sports Radio WEEI. Rich will be back next week. And we'll be back. He's supposed to be back next week. I don't know if his wife's had another kid between now and then.
If so, then he'll be off a year from now.
Yep, he could be off some more, but he is scheduled to be back next week. And I'll be looking forward to talking to him again. Not that I haven't enjoyed visiting with you guys this week and getting you in a part of this whole thing as well. We just heard a cut during the open from John Heyman, who was on OMF. And when I first, and we only played a little portion of the cut, we're going to play the whole thing for you here from John Heyman. If you're one of those people who's a bit pessimistic about the possible return of baseball, and if you do what we do for a living at the radio station that we do it at, or at the TV station that I also work at, I can tell you I've got a vested interest in having baseball back, mm-hmm. both here and the other place. I mean, it is to all of our benefits in our building and in the building over in Watertown to get baseball back. But John Heyman told OMF yesterday, this doesn't sound too good, does it?
The call was last night. I was getting texts. I got a text from one player, I got to tell you. And I think they're going to get a deal. I think they're going to work it out. I just can't believe they're going to blow it up with economics. But from a very smart player, he said, I think the chances for a season are pretty close to zero. That was the entire text. I believe both sides understand they need to play the games if they can in terms of the health. They cannot blow it up over money. They just can't do it.
So Heyman sounds really pessimistic, and I shouldn't say Heyman does, based on the text messages he's getting from players. Are you guys getting the sense that people are hearing more about that?
This feels like the same thing as the coronavirus reporting. So on the same day Heyman says this with the guys yesterday with Lou and Christian, Bob Nightingale, who does some radio.com stuff as well, he's got a big story up at like 12 o'clock yesterday, saying everything he's hearing is there'll definitely be a season, the false alarm, pomp and circumstance, they're definitely going to play. So to me, it feels like depending on which guys you talk to, that's how they feel. And Heyman, unfortunately for us, is tied into the players' side. He's a Scott Boras guy. He's a players' guy. So the players are negotiating publicly, as are the owners. And so Heyman's version is from the players, and right now they're in negotiation mode. So I wish this wasn't happening publicly, but I'm not going to get over-emotional about what Heyman or Nightingale or any of these guys say, because I do think cooler heads prevail, and depending on who these guys are talking to, that's what their opinion is based on.
And even Heyman said he thinks they'll play, but the sources are negative, right? That the sources are
that's
close
awesome.
To zero.
You can play both sides of the
right.
fence, can't
you? I was
awesome.
Right. My source was wrong. I just told you my source was wrong. But yeah, you know, in these types of situations, you're only as good as your source, or Mutt, as you sort of alluded to, coronavirus, the numbers or the science that you believe in or being presented with. And I will say I'm getting more pessimistic by the day Mutt, you know this. I've ridden quite a roller coaster with
you.
Oh,
yes, you have. I've seen it front center. Yep.
These various announcements and plans and everything's coming back and I'm going to be on the youth baseball field. And then when we get home from that, I'll watch the Red Sox. And well, it does. I'm not as optimistic. And the marathon really, really was part of that because it was so far off. That made me reconsider everything else that's coming back and everything that's coming into play. But then if you go to Texas, right, where they're like, OK, yeah, you can come play. Use our stadiums, 25% crowds. But the money aspect in baseball here and which side are you guys on? It's talk radio, so you got to pick a side. Just want to let you know.
I think there will be baseball.
No. I mean, are you on the player's side? Because it's all about the money.
Andy, they both suck.
Pick a side.
I'm not taking a side. They both suck.
No, you don't have to.
Okay, so that's where I am, too.
Andy, they both suck.
No, I'm angry at both. I was all in when Tony Clark said, non-starter, we're not doing this. I was so against him, tone deaf. And then it worked. I owe him the apology because it worked because the owners didn't even present a revenue sharing proposal that was initially rumored. And then you look at Mike Trout, who goes from $35 million down to, what is it, $6 million? And the cut that they're looking for. And to me, the biggest issue is if you guys are really all in, both sides, if you're really all in, I don't think it's unfair for the players to ask for more information, right? That's been one of these bargaining chips forever.
Absolutely right.
Like, if you're going to lose money.
But then
money,
they won't believe what they get anyway.
Well, that is true, and because there's no trust there. But I also, I can't agree with Scott Boras. He's like, well, the owners didn't have to leverage themselves. They didn't have to take out loans to build stadiums. Well, that's kind of the way the world works.
Yeah, yes, they did.
Right. Like,
so that they could afford to pay your clients the exorbitant contracts that you negotiate.
He had a comment in there that, you know, the players haven't benefited. The average salary has been the same for 3 years in a row or whatever, $4 million. Yeah, but the high-end salaries have gone up, correct? Maybe baseball's changed their business model a little bit and realized, well, I do have to pay Mike Trout the $36 million, so I'm going to balance it out like Bill Belichick does.
Here's
with
what
a young player making nothing.
Jason Stark, senior baseball writer for The Athletic, tweeted out a link to an article that he wrote today. And the tweet says, is baseball somehow going to wind up as the only sport that is not going to play? Come on. Are people this smart really going to decide that's an acceptable and sensible decision? No. It's just not. My plea to Major League Baseball, don't drive off this cliff.
Yeah, if they're the only one that doesn't return, if we get hockey playoffs, basketball playoffs, return of the NFL, and baseball is still just fighting their way away and has no games, then I know it's obvious and everyone's, they're toast. They are no longer going to be a major sport. They are going to be a second-tier sport.
Mutt and I had a disagreement with Wiggy about this. Wiggy thinks, oh, shut it down and just go back. It'll be back to normal next spring.
Nope.
I don't think it'll be normal again.
No. You no longer, in my opinion, it will be the NFL and the NBA, and I think you may be equal to or behind the NHL. You're becoming a second-tier sport, and they have never thought they would be that. They have never thought they would be out of the loop of, you know, the real high-end TV contracts and players. They won't. The whole model will change if they miss this season.
And to your point, like, so when I say both sides suck, like, it started out where the public players guys, like, obviously we talked about Blake Snell, but he's a nobody to casual sports
fans. Right.
But then Bryce Harper backed him up and said, yes, I agree. So the players' public stance bothered me. But now the owners have matched that with this not opening of books. Like, there's one team, the Braves, have open books you can look at. Nobody else will. If you want to claim that you're going to lose 70% of your revenue because of game day, the game day ticket sales and all the game day stuff is gone, then you have to at least show us. So to me, Andy, now the ball is back in the owner's court because it's now up to them to prove to the players that here's the money we're going to lose, here's how we're going to try to make it work and balance out. We know you don't trust us, but here are the numbers. It's now back in their court. So they both suck, but I'll give it's 51-49 owner's problem right now because they won't be open, let alone honest with the players. That's
all right, let's get back to the calls with you in just a moment at 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keith, Mutt and Andy. Time to trend.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Dale and Keefe is on from 10 to 2.
That's why you get up in the morning.
Give me the ball and get out of the way.
On WEEI.
All right, we've got a bit of news about sports in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Our buddy Dan Roach from WBZ-TV tweeted out, a source close to the governor tells WBZ's John Keller, Governor Baker will announce today that professional sports teams will be allowed to practice with safety precautions. So the whole idea of the NHL entering phase two and being able to get players back on the ice to practice in small groups, according to John Keller, that's what Governor Baker will announce today, that they can do that. That means Patriots back down at Gillette in smaller groups and all of that stuff. But it sounds as though another step in the right direction.
Yeah, and the NFL has been sort of hinting at that. You know, in June, they want to get the coaches back in there, some form of group workouts. Although, I don't know if you guys talked about it. I thought Jason McCourty was pretty honest last week when he said, yeah, there's going to be fears, and you're going to have to figure out exactly, you know, what the steps they're taking to protect everybody, and then you make a decision. If you're comfortable with it, you take part. If you're not, then you got to figure out what you need to do. But he said it's for all of us. We're all going to, you know, Dale, we were sort of joking about it earlier, but the reality is everybody has to return to work at some time, and you have to decide if you feel comfortable doing so.
Let's hear exactly what was said. John, go ahead.
And I think moving forward, I think we all have fears. I think for me, fear of going back to work is no different than the fear of walking in a restaurant and sitting down to have dinner. So I think this is something that we're all going to have to deal with. At some point, we're going to start back up. Massachusetts and every other state around the country, as some in the South have already began to open up. So I think as players, we're going to go through the same fears that a lot of other people in our country are going to go through. And you got to figure it out the best way. And when they tell us to come back to work, we have to, as individuals, make sure, hey, to my standard, I feel like, hey, this is safe enough. I'm ready to commit to it. I'm ready to do it. And if not, you got to go about whatever you feel is best for you and your family.
And it's going to be especially weird for him and, you know, to some degree, people like me. Like, I've been coming into the studio. He's been going to the stadium. He's one of those injured players that's been doing rehab, and it's, you know, small groups for small, short.
I was going to say small groups. It's probably
right.
Very small. It's him and a trainer probably.
Right. So then now, like, the next step is when he could walk into a locker room like he has all along and suddenly, whoa, there's 30 other guys in here. Or I go by the DB room and there's 10 guys. Or so there's going to be a really unique change for him and some of the other injured players that have been there. But I'm interested to see where this all goes. I told you, you know, the Ben Volen story, the ideas of having to move the locker room around and not keep similar position players in the same spot so you don't have an outbreak in one position, and spacing of lockers and lockers in the hallway and how you rethink practice. And this is going to be really interesting to follow as they do begin the process.
The other part of this, and we're talking specifically at this moment about the Bruins and the NHL and Phase 2 and all that stuff, many players are not necessarily returning to where their teams play for the beginning of Phase 2. Like, some of the players who are in Europe aren't necessarily returning to, you know, the Bruins or the Maple Leafs or whoever.
Right.
Because Phase 2, A, it's voluntary. It's small groups. I think it was 6 players at a time on the ice, no coaches. So what you're finding is that there are pockets of players who are doing this where they are. There's like 15 NHL guys who live in the vicinity of Vancouver, British Columbia. Well, they're going to work out together under the Phase 2 regulations like that. There are going to be players here, I think, at Warrior. It will not just be the Bruins on the ice here at Warrior. It could be that there's some mix of players, because, you know, there's a bunch of NHL guys in the Boston area as
right.
Well, where they won't necessarily, you know, I'm going back to the Maple Leafs, and you will eventually get there, but not necessarily for the start of Phase 2.
Is this going to lead to super teams, Dale? Like in the NBA, no. When those guys hang out in the offseason and 4 years later they're all signed with the same team? That'd be
interesting. Probably not the way
it was. What it does stop, and this is for all the sports now, we had talked the last couple of weeks, I think, all of us at some point, you know, what if Governor Baker is the last to make a call here. Even Governor Newsom out in California and even New Jersey and New York, these are states that had said, yes, we can get back to professional sports. What happens here? Does that mean the Red Sox are trained somewhere else? I mean, the Celtics are late to get back up and going. Do they have to go to Florida?
Well then, I guess now this is going to open up our back center.
They are back center, the Warrior right across the street, like you said. This should allow the local teams, you know, knock on wood, that both the NBA and the NHL come back as scheduled. Might get the NBA news as soon as today. They can practice in their facilities, and they can start that process now. In fact, I think the NBA is a couple weeks already. So the Celtics, I guess, as soon as the announcement's made, they can start following the NBA protocol and going over to Arbeck Center, correct?
Well, the devil will be in the details, right, in terms of what Governor Baker announces. You know, sort of like the office buildings. Wow, they can open up at 25% capacity, except in Boston. You know, there seems like there's always a second layer to the announcement.
That's handled a different channel, Andy. That's a different channel.
Well, this is good to know. We now find out he's actually the channel. It was just going to take a few weeks for him to realize he was the channel that was going to announce that pro sports could come back.
Well, one of the things, and we had this discussion with Wiggy. Andy, I'm curious to get your take on this, because Mutt and I were of the opinion that, let's say in the NFL, okay, we're playing games starting in September, but in Foxborough, you can't have fans in the stands. In New Jersey, you can't have fans in the stands. But in Jacksonville, you can. Is the NFL going to allow that? Because that seems like a real competitive disadvantage for teams.
That has been my biggest question all along. Is there going to be this seeking of everything being the same, equitability across, whether it's college sports within conferences or pro sports? Because if that's the goal, I think you're screwed. I don't think you can do it. So I think you're going to have to eliminate that and accept the idea that there may be no fans, some fans, more fans. I mean, if Texas is already at 25%, right? They made that announcement as of June 1st or whatever.
Although then I read where whatever the NASCAR track is in Texas, the owner of that track said, I don't care what the governor says. We're not putting people in. We're not ready for that.
And that's fine, right? And if you want to go more than the restrictions they put in place.
And individual sports may say, you know, look, I don't care what the governor says. The NFL, the commissioner says, no, NFL teams can't do it until everybody can do it.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be able to do that. I think that would be an unnecessary limitation. And you're right, there will be a strategic advantage potentially in games, whether they're domes with 25,000 people compared to Gillette that's dead empty and various things like that. But do you think it's realistic with everything they face, all the hurdles of testing and what are you going to do if one gets it and finance, whatever, all the many, many hurdles, are you really willing to hold out to make sure that all 32 stadiums are under the exact same guidelines? That to me doesn't seem realistic or even necessary.
Just punt. Punt on it. It's not worth the risk. And I was surprised yesterday talking to Drellick about the baseball side of it, that he thinks that in his mind, if certain jurisdictions can open, that they'll allow fans, say, in Milwaukee for the Brewers, but not at Fenway Park, because that's a major advantage. But his point, I guess, financially, is that baseball can't afford to lose that revenue.
Right.
I think football can. Football is so TV-oriented and so locked into those TV contracts that personally, the worst-case scenario is the league has to shut down because a team or multiple people test positive, whatever it ends up being.
Sure.
I at least at some percentage, guys, I avoid that scenario by not putting fans in the stands. It's as simple as that. It's black and white.
But
it's black and white.
The finances of it, I would look at, even if I'm Boston. Okay, we can't have fans. The mayor won't allow it. The governor won't allow it. Financially speaking, I want that money back into baseball. Like in the NFL, where the salary cap is based on revenues, if Jerry Jones can get 25,000 people in the stands at AT&T Stadium, I want that revenue in the pot, because I do not want my salary cap to go down 40% next year from 200 million something to 120 million or whatever it may be. Yeah. I want as much. And if I'm the players, same thing. Do I love the fact that when we're at home, there's no crowd and I feel like we're at a disadvantage? Do I love the fact that I go on the road and there's whatever? No. But in the long term interests of football and the business and my finances, I think you want owners to have that. And certainly the local owners. It's an obvious, it's a no-brainer. If I can put fans in the stands and recoup some of the 40% I'm going to lose, I'm doing it.
Well, but I'll also say this, and ironically, believe it or not, it was NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman who I thought probably put it the best when he was asked about this after they had announced their plan and he was doing the round of interviews. At one point he said, you know, we have to realize that this isn't about the money at this point. I mean, you know, we're trying to keep the sport going. We're trying to be positive and give people something to see. We know that we're not going to make this money back. We know that there are going to be huge financial hits. They were talking about what it's going to cost them to test players.
Right.
And it's millions and millions of dollars just to test players. And he said, we know that. We have to suck it up, bite the bullet, and do what's best for our sport and our fans going forward.
But it's still a balance. It's always about the money. Like, I say that to my wife and kids. When, you know, oh, can we just do this? Yeah, you want to live in a cardboard box under an overpass? I mean, it's always about the money. At some point as an adult, you realize you have to make financial decisions. And it's the right statement for Bettman to say that.
Right.
It's a much better statement and outward view. But behind closed doors, get your calculator out, get your four experts and your accountants down on the table and say, let's figure this out and figure out exactly what's going on. Not to say you...
Well, I think what he's saying is, look, for a year, in the most unusual year of our sport or any other sport, we'll suck it up and figure it out.
Right. You're going to lose money, right? I think that's the statement he is sort of acknowledging. Like, this is not going to be a good year on our books. But any way we can make it incrementally better, you do that. You find a, if you can make a little extra money here with a few extra fans over there in California or Texas that can't be in Boston, you take the extra fans.
All right, so to that end, as Dale was talking about the testing, how much it's going to cost, and this is just complete non sequitur, will these leagues have a testing sponsor? For example, our players are tested daily, presented by
Abbott Testing. Use the Abbott testing.
I'm saying, you can do Abbott testing if you want, but you could get a sponsor for the tests. Like, you're the official sponsor.
Today's code word. It is Tuesday. That means the code word is pants.
Exactly. Can't you sell it? Can't the testing sponsor be a big deal? Every broadcast to remind people that people are safe, the players are safe.
I'd sell it twice.
It's $1 million idea. John, save that and
you're
send
just
it to
giving
our
it
bosses.
To them.
Yeah,
I just you're gave just it out giving this here. Away.
11:30. I haven't lunchtime.
And the
yet.
Question is maybe brought to you by the letter Celtics. The word Celtics. The team Celtics.
The letter Celtics.
Even as we speak, Sam Kennedy's listening to us right now down at Fenway Park going, thank you, Mutt.
When that happens, just remind me that I gave away $1 million right
now.
It's
American
going to happen. Testing
genius.
Sponsored by. Yes, there you go.
But no, can you do it twice? Can you get a discount on the test because you say every time we announce it on our broadcast, it'll be the Abbott test update? Brought to you by Geico. Boom. Two people paid for it.
Double
now
dip.
It's a $2 million idea.
Wow. You plugged a sponsor.
Okay, thanks
the first
for all your hard work.
And then you gave the double dip on the read. There you go. Perfect.
Making people money, just not ourselves.
617-779-7937. Matt's in Florida. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Matt?
What's going on?
You know, I think this baseball billionaires arguing with millionaires they're going to commit suicide if they don't get something happening. In Europe right now, I'm originally from England. I'm a huge soccer fan. You know, people in England, my friends in England, are paying Sky Sports to watch the Bundesliga, even though that's the German
right.
league.
Although the Premier League's back soon, though.
They're coming back on the 17th, but everything is, they've got 9 games to go. It means millions. You get close to $200 million if you get promoted from the championship to the Premier League, and they're playing behind empty stadiums for the safety of the fans. But people are just clamoring for sports over there, clamoring. And I think baseball, it would be a tragedy if baseball implodes itself over a few bucks. The players in the UK and in Germany and in La Liga in Italy, Serie A in Italy, the players are getting full pay for the final games. So, you know, the owners get so much TV revenue that they can't afford to not put a product on the field. And, you know, baseball is the only sport that doesn't field games. They're going to lose. They've already lost a huge amount of fans because of, you know, 3.5 hour games and you know, there's no young fans of baseball anymore, in my opinion. So, how do you feel about that?
Everybody
has an empty stand.
I think that they're making a huge mistake if, as Jason Stark tweeted out earlier, if they become the only pro sport that can't get its act together and can't get back on the field, even if it's just to provide fans with some entertainment respite for a few hours on an evening, if they can't get their economic house in order and can't pull it off, a pox on both their houses.
Yeah, I think they will, and I think in the end the owners will cave to some degree. I think they will give in to the players, and you'll see a modified agreement of some sort that leans more towards what the players wanted and not a second pay cut and more deferred revenues and some of these things we've heard out there. Because it's great to say I can't afford to lose X million dollars, right? I'm over-leveraged. I built this. You know what's even worse? To lose way more than that. So I think they're going to take it on the chin and cave, and I think you will see baseball. But I'm interested to see how they push this. The old Andrew Brandt thing, deadline spur action. And all we've heard is the end of May, if we're going to have a season, we got to get moving, spring training 2.0. And especially the players want to add 20 games. I'm not sure how that works out here. You know, the 82 games goes to 100 and what the timeline for that would all be. But I still, Mutt, here I stay hopeful and I'm optimistic. There will be baseball.
So I asked a question out loud. I didn't know the answer to it yesterday. I said, who's the owner that will be the Bob Kraft here and who's going to step across and try to broker a deal? So I'm a moron. So I reached out to, I'm going to call a baseball source. And I got a text back this morning.
Nice.
Was it Evan?
I wish it was. Well, Kevin was on the show yesterday. Good question, but I don't know if that owner exists. They might be, but I'm not sure who it is. One of the things out there is the feeling that MLB has become more centralized. That doesn't mean Rob has more faith than Bud, but the commissioner's office seems to function more like a CEO than it used to. So the idea of they're going to let Manfred, I guess, be the Kraft, which is not, that's not great to me. He seems very robotic. He doesn't seem to be willing to bend here. He doesn't seem player friendly. I don't know what you guys think about Rob Manfred. I rank him towards the bottom of the owners in sports right now, and he's behind Roger Goodell, which is amazing. So if he's the guy, if he's the face,
yeah, I don't like it.
That's a scary proposition that there's nobody who can step across and say, hey, guys, let's get this done.
And he's not an owner. He doesn't have a skin in the game, right? That's how I would look at it.
No,
it's different.
He's the commissioner.
If I look at you, and so much of the NFL over the years was talked about, like, all for one and one for all, and we do it as a group and whatever the whole belief was there, he's not one of us. And he doesn't know the ups and the downs and what we've committed or not. Yeah, I don't like that. I think you need somebody on the inside to bring people together.
Is part of this the trust factor? In other words,
yes.
When the NFL negotiations were not going well and the players didn't like Roger Goodell and didn't believe what Roger Goodell said, a guy like Robert Kraft could become involved. He did. Can kind of help break down some of the barriers. He did, and gets the big hug on the sidewalk from Jeff Saturday and gets credit for the guy who finally got this thing off the schneid and got football back. Is there more of a trust factor in baseball for the players in Manfred? Because it doesn't feel like it.
No, not at all.
Do they have more trust in Manfred than they do the owners? Because the players and the owners are like oil and water, aren't they?
But are there no players? Like, to me, there's a trickle-down effect. Like, Robert Kraft has really good relationships with a lot of his players. Some that stay on the team forever, some that are here for a couple years. And, you know, you see him, if you're ever outside the locker room after a game, he hugs almost everybody, hugs a wife, kisses a baby. There are personal relationships. And if those players move on to other teams, maybe they talk a little bit about, yeah, Robert was really good to me when I was there. I remember my kid was sick and he did this, whatever.
Right.
There's value in that. Does Manfred have those? On any level, even if it's a small percentage. Are there any owners that have
But
that?
Do they trust Manfred more than they trust their owners?
That's a bad sign.
I don't think the players trust the owners a lick. And it's like I said yesterday, no matter what financial information an individual owner provides to his players, they're not going to believe it anyway.
No, and this has been a lasting thing. I can remember when the NFL was going down the road, before they kind of bridged the gap and got together, there was a lot of these same questions. Okay, open your books. We want to see the books. And there were all these theories that owners were very protective of. They don't want players to see how much they're taking out of the revenues or how many people are on the company books that are making $1 million with the same last name as the owner or things of that nature. And I always laughed at it a little bit. And then I don't know if you guys read the Tim Graham story about the inner workings of the Buffalo Bills and the Pegulas. And one of their organizational meetings, they said one of the keys to the organization was keeping the Pegula family in their current lifestyle. That was part of their business plan. And I'm like, maybe the players are right.
Well, that's what matters to fans, right?
Right, and maybe the players are right. Maybe these owners are stealing from the kitty a little bit and, you know, making, you know, cooking the books enough so that the, yeah, the Joneses are doing really well. You know that yacht he's got? Huh, that's a pretty nice yacht. You know how he got that? Don't ask. You don't need to know how he got that, right? So I've started to go a little more towards maybe these players are right and the owners do cook the books to a point where, yeah, give me a little more information before I take a, you know, second pay cut.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We don't have Week in Review because Rich is off, but we do have Wise Words from Wiggy. That's coming up at 12:30. 1:30, Scheim gives away free money, and we give you the winner of the Dale and Keefe Movie Club for the for this week. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart and Mutt, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Now back.
Don't bleep and sugarcoat this, Arnold.
To Dale and Keefe.
Why are we yelling?
This is WEEI.
You don't mind that pressure going out there, fourth and 15 or whatever, to down and distance. It's all right, we got to show up to win the game. But it's just like, conversely, if I'm a team and I've earned the right to be up, we've made the plays necessary to be winning in the fourth quarter or whatever it might be, I have a chance to go seal the game by just catching an onside kick. Versus being out there for a fourth and 15. From that standpoint, it's like, I don't really understand it. You know, we are now basically rewarding you for being behind. And
so that's Jason McCourty, who did not like the proposal in the change to the onside kick rule, and that has since been tabled. But to be honest, in the same way yesterday, I got some crap from some of my coworkers here because I said, I've got gambling questions. I want to go to my gambling authority. I want to talk to Mutt about this stuff. Mm-hmm. I got football stuff that I want to discuss. I want to read my Fast Five. I want to know what Andy Hart thinks on my Fast Five.
Yeah.
Woo! That's where I go to get my stuff.
Did you read it this morning?
I didn't check it out. Let me check it out. W-E-E.
You can try.
No, it's right here. It's there every day. I'll look. I'll find it.
It's not every day. It's every Friday. It's called Fat Hart. This is not five. This is 10. 10
actually,
Patriots
12.
Facing most pressure in 2020.
If you want to do the math, it's actually 12.
Well, so the plug got pulled.
Wait a minute. What?
What do they call that? A DNR?
While we've been sitting here, you've been fired?
Well, it's never happened to me. I've never moved around at all in radio. I don't know what it's like.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
I'm actually leaving at the end of this segment. Told them I'd finish up the segment took my playbook down to Joey and see myself out. Boss Man didn't really love the Fast Five and how it was working out. And
wait a minute. Which Boss Man? We have lots of Boss Men.
Yeah, you do. How do you think I feel? I do radio and written. I got bosses coming out my bunghole. Rob and Ryan.
It was a nice visual. Thanks for that.
But so, yeah. So it's on hiatus at the very least. What do they say on TV? The rest of the season of this show can be watched online at CBS.com.
Which well, no one ever does.
No right? one ever does. So, no. Yeah. No, the Fast Five, I think, got... have you seen Old Yeller?
Oh,
no.
Bang!
Really? What's it being replaced by?
Just a regular Friday column, I guess. So it's I got to tell you. Makes
Is it
my
called
life.
Heartburn?
Well, no, it's just Hart, Rob Bradford, the, you know, guy who runs the show at WE.com, likes the, last name colon kind of column idea with your
Bradford show.
So, yeah. So, yep. Yeah, it's easier for me, though, I can tell you, because, you know, I don't know if you've noticed, there's no sports in the world. So finding five topics that you're...
4 hours a day, 5 days a week on radio. What, are you kidding me?
Finding five topics every Friday to write about that you haven't written about on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday of that week was a little more challenging of late. So, you know, it is what it is.
Copy-paste, Andy.
Copy-paste.
Be more creative.
It works for a lot of other people.
Wow, there's a lot of barbs being thrown from behind the glass.
How about, Shine, why don't you put pen to paper, tweeting about Pokemon for a few minutes, and why don't you get out there
he's
and write a Friday
column?
To
do there, Mike.
I look over at the screen, and Shine, completely full screen, he's just watching a video of a moose in someone's pool.
Oh, in Ottawa. I saw that. I've got it on my iPad.
Am I the only one working here? All you people that are at home or at another computer screen or watching moose videos while I'm trying to carry you?
So let's get back to, I can't read it on the Fast Five because that took a bullet in the brain.
You people...
But let's go back to what McCourty was talking about, and the onside kick rule got tabled. Was this just the NFL chickening out, or what's the deal here?
Yeah, I think the word out of the league and the meetings and the people, you know, the Judy Batistas and the sort of the Nationals is the quick alteration of the pass interference replay rule a year ago and the debacle that was last season
it
with
was
that
awful.
Rule. Now they are now they're Marty Walshing it. They're going to be overly cautious on every decision they make, and they're not willing to go all in on this. I think it'll come eventually.
I didn't really get McCourty's beef with the proposed change, the 4th and 15 thing.
Oh, I do.
Well, he said, you know, you're being rewarded for being behind. Well, aren't you behind in an onside kick situation too?
Well, but the percentage, and he feels like that's a better percentage for him as a guy that's been on some hands teams, and you know, the 12%, 10%, 8% type onside kick numbers over the years, and it continues to go down since they've banned the overloading of one side of the field and the kickoff rules. But just look at it from his perspective. So it's late in a game, and you're a defensive back, so you stop the pass. If the team's coming back, they're passing. So they just drove the ball down your throat on a 30-second drive, put the ball in the end zone, and instead of jogging to the bench area, you jog to the other end of the field to now cover again. That doesn't feel right, especially since if we're leading, I probably played pretty well for the first 55 minutes. Now I'm sucking wind, I'm gassed, and Patrick Mahomes is jamming it down my throat. I don't care for it.
What about those folks? And look, there are a lot of folks out there who didn't like it when they backed up the extra point kick like they did. And then in retrospect, Bill Belichick was right. It was not a competitive play prior.
Right.
Now it is a competitive play. It's better.
And I think the same, if you're a fan, I think this would be cool. I think you're adding life to a game. You're making it more entertaining. But from a coach's perspective, a defensive player's perspective, I do think, A, you're entrenched in the way you've played the game for 20 years and coached it for 45 years if you're Bill Belichick. And you're not always worried about, oh, we're an entertainment business. We're entertainers and we're trying to bring it. What a, you know, this is a little like the XFL, the short-lived XFL. All their rules at the end of the game for the timing and the clock, and they were set up for this, right?
Awesome.
They were set up for comebacks. You could basically not take time off the clock in their league. You were making plays and like no time's coming off the clock because they wanted you to always be in the game, even if you're down two scores. And then I go for the, what was it, a 9-point touchdown. So I'm down, I can, you know, make up 18 points in a hurry. If that's what you're looking for in injecting more entertainment, more life, bringing more games down to the wire, then yeah, this is a no-brainer. I also think the fact that you could do it twice a game is interesting. You know, Bill Belichick has the defer to get the double possession, end of the second quarter, get it in the third quarter. Well, there's no better double possession than score a touchdown, score, and then say, you know what? I'm doing it right now. Yeah, let's come down the field. I'm hot. We're hot. Gronk is catching everything. Brady's on fire. Edelman, you know, we're going for 4th and 15, and you could step on somebody's throat much earlier in the game by taking a double score opportunity. Now, it could blow up in your face, and, you know, Sean Payton like Super Bowl onside kick. There's some risk there, but I think it would be fun. I think you're going to get it eventually. I think they're just going to be overly cautious for a while because they have egg on their face from last year.
And one of the real downfalls of you know, losing the XFL, and again, rest in peace to what would have been
might
a great football
might be back again.
Game.
I don't know if you saw this.
I hope it is, Dale. One of people
mocked
on the
it's
station.
Stupid. It's just
you've mocked
stupid.
It. Mark James has mocked. Everyone's mocked it. I love the XFL.
Mark James and I, we share a football
90%
brain.
Of their games I watched. My son loved it. It was the up-tempo. It was fun. It was innovative. And if they had been allowed to continue their season, there was more likely for something like this to happen because it's gone away now. It's been months now. People forget how fun the XFL was. Another thing that they had in the XFL that they screwed up yesterday with these rules, they're not going to allow Sky Judge. So
right.
They're doing this watered-down Sky Judge that can only be used in preseason, that can only be initiated when the officials on the field ask for it. So the officials have to almost say, hey, we don't know, which is embarrassing
to say.
We screwed
up. Could you fix this for us?
Can you fix, instead of allowing the guy to hit the buzzer and go, nope, grab his Xbox controller like they did in the XFL, you show him up there in the video and get the damn thing right. It's a watered-down, fake version. Two chicken bleep decisions by the NFL. They're so major. Rob Manfred is applauding what the NFL did yesterday. Great job, guys. Stay with what you have. Don't get better. And they did it on both these occasions.
I think both of them will come eventually. I hope so.
I hope so.
And certainly, even more so than the onside kick, the Sky Judge, the preseason, the testing it out, the seeing how it goes before you. Because you have to remember, and I always said that, like, I loved the way the XFL did it, where you heard everything. Oh, you see what you did here.
Great. Oh,
give it to me
that.
One more time.
Oh, rewind. Get that angle. Get that second angle again,
right.
Tim.
Was
Tim,
tremendous.
The more information they stick in front of us, the better.
Right, except for the fact that I immediately tried to envision that guy doing that job in Super Bowl 55 with all the world watching, and it's in the fourth quarter, and they're not ready for that. They are not ready for that to be the case, and I'm not surprised that they're dragging their feet here, but it's going to go in that direction because they continue to try to find ways to avoid the hellacious mishaps. And that's really what they're targeting here is the non-pass interference call in the NFC title game a couple years ago. Okay, we're going to make that check. Oh, that didn't work. How can we take another step? Well, the XFL tried this. Let's try the sky judge, but let's learn our lesson and not let's put it into regular season play. We'll start it in the preseason and do a slow roll before we figure out if it's the right move.
I like a lot of the things that the NFL does. I like other things better. In fact, when you look at the way the NHL handles replay, they do a better job.
Sort of.
The way the NBA does it, they do a better job.
But the NHL has the worst rule in sports, Dale. We can agree on that, correct?
Oh, the delayed offside thing is ridiculous. I hate that rule. But my point is the NFL wants everything under the shroud of darkness, the cloak of secrecy. They don't want you to hear.
You know why? I don't think they trust their guys. I don't think they want you to know.
Based on some of the
they're boobs,
not wrong.
Right?
They're not wrong. They're
some
not
of these guys, like, think of how often we laugh at a guy when he turns his mic on the field, right? And he knows he's on. He initiates being on. Now you're going to put a guy that could be on camera, on audio, far more. Their trepidation is probably warranted based on what I've seen over the years.
But to the XFL thing for one second, as many times they went to the booth, I don't feel we ever mocked them. There was one of the first weeks there was it was a woman, and so people were already sort of focused on that. Oh my God, a woman's making the replay calls here. She had gotten it wrong in her own head, so somebody had to help her and walk her through it in the booth. But after that, it was guys clearly just hitting rewind, hitting fast forward, copy paste. Here we go. I don't feel like we mocked
them. Oh, look, his foot's down
there.
This is good. This counts.
Get it right.
No offense, it didn't matter. It didn't matter in the XFL.
That's true.
There were X number of people watching. I don't even know what their ratings were, but they weren't NFL ratings. Again, maybe not even the Super Bowl. How about just a Sunday night football game? You know, we've seen over the years some of these really bad calls and controversial calls and different things. That lives on for days and weeks across sports radio. And it's different when it's the XFL. And I don't even remember the one you're referencing. She didn't know the rule and someone else had to come in. So now we had a sky judge for the sky judge.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's not quite ready. I think they're warranted to be a little cautious here and not be looking like boobs again a year from now.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. So there's a feud, a sports feud out there. And I'm frankly a little baffled by it. It's a cross-sports feud. And Dan Orlovsky and Damian Lillard don't like each other. I don't know why. We'll get into it when we come back in just a couple of minutes. Wise words from Wiggy at the bottom of the hour. It's Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart, with Mutt, Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.